be seated. Jason, can you give me a little less light? I don't want to be shiny. Just bring it down. There you go. So, I know, Dave likes everything really bright, but I am bright in and of myself, thanks to my hair, everything. So it's really good to have you guys. Those of you who don't know me, I am Pastor Dave's wife. I am Tracy. And I got the joy of having my daughter help lead worship today. So that's really neat to have as a mom, to have your daughter follow you in ministry. My other daughter's also always involved in ministry, but I cannot get her to sing, and her voice is beautiful. But anyway, it was just really neat to have Caitlin up here for me. But what I want to talk to you tonight about is something that God convicted my heart about a year ago, and I'm still in the process of learning it, and I'm still in the process of him talking to me and teaching me, and that is that we are so busy. We are all so very busy. Our days are filled with so many different things, and the truth of the matter is that really most of us are spending time doing what everybody else wants us to do, and we're not doing what really matters to us. We're not doing what we want to do. So I want to ask you to do something for me. I want to ask you right now, if you could wipe everything away, if you could have a clean slate, what would you do? How would you start? I know I've asked this question, and many of you have said that you would get yourself either a hot cup of tea or a nice warm cup of coffee, and you would go find a really cozy place, and you would sit and you would just have time reading your Bible. Some of you would exercise. Some of you would do crafts. Some of you might go on a date night once a week. Or some of you may even settle for a date night once a month with your spouse. So, Crystal, do I get an amen? Where are you? Okay, there you go. And some of you go back to school. I mean, I've even talked to some of you that have gone back to school. And it's just neat to see when you can have that clean slate, what you're going to do with it, and how you're going to use it. I mean, some of you, even eating healthy, that's a huge thing going on right now. We've got some ladies that are, they are kicking some booty, or should I say, kicking some booty off with, with eating healthy and taking care of themselves. And tonight, what my hope is for you tonight is to get you kind of headed in the right direction. I want you to be able to enjoy your life, and I want you to be able to enjoy all the different things in your life. And the way that we're going to do this is I want you to become, I want to encourage you to become more like the passion flower. And that is where we kind of got our theme for tonight, was between what God was talking to me about and this beautiful flower. The neat thing about the passion flower, these are just many different photos, different angles of the plant itself, but it's so intertwined that you cannot distinguish between the fruit, the flower, the vine, the branches, or the tree. It's just constantly growing in and over and overlapping with one another. You start to pull on one, you're going to be pulling on all of it. It's all going to move. If you start to pull one away the wrong way and you break it, you can end up destroying or killing the whole plant. And that's what I want your lives to be. I want your lives to be so entangled, so intertwined with Jesus, that it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if you're at home. It doesn't matter if you're the mom. It doesn't matter if you're the sister or the family member or the best friend or the teacher or the bank worker. It doesn't matter if you're by yourself alone, that you just want it to be Jesus. And that wherever you are, whoever you're with, they can't even tell where the start and the finish is, because he's so entangled in your life that when they look at the fruit in your life, they see Jesus. When they look at the flowers, they see Jesus. When they look at the tree, when they look at the vine, when they look at the branches, they see Jesus. And they know that that's what you want in your life. I'm going to have you guys turn in your Bibles if you have them. And if you don't, they're on the notes. Anthony's going to have them up here for me too, to John chapter 15, verse 4. And do you guys have notes? Did we pass them out? Well, you know what? I had two children, and they sucked so many brain cells out of my head that that must have just slipped. I mean, it's my bad. Oh, well. Anthony's going to have it up here for you then. John 15, 4. Or your Bibles or your phones or whatever you want to call it. So anyway, John tells us in chapter 15, verse 4, abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The neat thing about abiding is it means to wait. It means to accept. I know that is two things that women are just not good at. We don't like to wait, and if it's not our way, we don't like to accept. We want to change it. Some of the other words that are in that definition, to dwell, to reside, to continue in a relationship with. This whole idea of abiding means that you are going to wait on him, that you are going to hand over that, and you're going to be patient. You're going to wait on his leading. You're going to wait on his protection. You're going to wait on his deliverance. And it's not something that you're going to force. Can you imagine all those beautiful pictures that you just saw of the passion flower? If that was forced, that fullness wouldn't be there. The beauty of that fruit, the beauty of the color, the different things that are distinguished in the petal of the flower. If we forced that, if we had our own way, it would be so plain and it would be so empty. It wouldn't be what it is and what it gives us for our life. We're so ready to jump up and act when more often than not, Jesus is just simply telling us to sit down, shut up, and wait on him. We're just not willing to do it. The really neat thing that I found when God was talking to my heart about all of these things was a lot of the songs that we're going to sing tonight. And I encourage you, if you haven't gotten Christy Knuckles' CD that was released last year, get it. It's worth it. You're going to enjoy it. You're going to eat it up. You're going to be just raising your hands in your car and totally praising the Lord and maybe hope that a police officer does not pass you because you don't have I've gotten some great looks, though, especially from lawn care people. I don't know why it's the guys in the lawn care trucks, but it usually is. So anyway, but one of the other things that really got a hold of my heart is Mary and Martha, the contrast between the two reactions of Mary and Martha in their life. And Mary and Martha were just completely endowed or just smothered in the ministry of Jesus Christ. And they just had so much involvement with him. Mary and Martha were constantly involved with his ministry. They had, essentially, they had unlimited access to Jesus because he was in their home, in and out of their home. Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead, that was their brother. One of the other neat things is, according to many scholars, Mary was the woman who was caught in adultery and who was thrown at the feet of Jesus, that the people wanted her stoned. But instead, Jesus protected her, and he forgave her. Mary was also the same woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and the pricey perfume. Some of you may know it as the alabaster. That was her as well. And these women knew Jesus really just better than anyone else. So tonight, the main passage that we're going to look at is where we're talking about them together, working together as sisters, and that's always an interesting story. And we're going to look in our main passage as in the book of Luke, and you won't find that in your notes because you do not have notes. So anyway, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not take it from her. I have to admit that I tend to be more like a Martha. I tend to be busy doing what I think is necessary instead of being still and letting myself listen to Jesus, letting him talk to my heart and pull me where he wants to be. And I know that I want to be more like Mary. The problem is that I start to feel guilty. I don't want to tell people no. I don't want them to be upset with me. So I choose things that make me end up looking like Martha. The thing about feeling guilty and sitting still is that women go from one contrast to the next. We're either so busy or we say, okay, I'm going to cut everything out and I'm just going to be still. I'm going to sit at the feet of Jesus and I'm going to do absolutely nothing and I'm going to be lazy. And that's the other extreme. And that is a lot of times as women, we just can't find that balance. And God wants us to find a balance between that laziness of sitting and doing nothing and that busyness that pulls us away from him, that distracts us from listening to him and knowing what he did. The neat thing about this when I was just thinking about it is with Mary, women back then were not welcomed into conversations. They didn't have a chair reserved for them at a table. And so you just kind of picture Mary, you know, she goes in there and she knows where she wants to be. And I'm already short as it is, but I'm going to get shorter here. And there were pillows around. A lot of times that's what they would sit on. But she pulls a pillow over and she sits down right at the Lord's feet. And she's listening to him. And she didn't do this clear out of the blue. See, she had been at Jesus' feet many times because we already talked about it. She was at the Lord's feet when people found her in adultery and they despised her. They threw her there. And instead of being stoned, she found protection and she found forgiveness. So she knew what that meant to be at his feet. When she wanted to praise someone, when she wanted to thank someone, when her heart was so overwhelmed with joy for who Jesus was to her, she cried at his feet. She took a whole year's salary and spent it on the most priciest perfume, and she washed his feet with her tears and her hair and the pricey perfume. So this was a familiar place for her. She knew that this was a place of protection, of forgiveness, of someone who received her thankfulness, received that gratitude that she gave. So it's not like she just decided to pull up a chair and get in on the latest gossip that the guys were talking about. This was comfortable. This is where she had been before, and this is where she knew she belonged. So we need to be comfortable there too. We need to say, that's where I belong. It's not so somebody else can see you there. It's not to create an awkwardness. It's not something that's forced. It was very natural what she did because it was a natural action for her. She was comfortable with her Savior. And that's what we need to do. So some of the things that I'm going to talk to you tonight about, I'm going to kind of use it with these three different chairs that are sitting up here, and we're going to talk about walking through the steps of how we can get closer and more comfortable with sitting at the feet of Jesus. The first chair is probably going to be the one that you're going to be sitting in the longest. You're going to want it to be a comfortable chair, because you're going to be here for a while. You want it to be some place that you can curl up in, you can sit comfortably in. This is going to be your truth chair. This is going to be where you actually have to sit and you have to admit to yourself that you do have a choice. See, a lot of times it's easier for us to tell ourselves or to tell other people, oh, I'm just so busy. We may even do a list, like, I have this going on, and I have this going on, and we're proving to ourselves and maybe to other people how busy we are. Because it's a lot less painful to say, I'm so busy, than to say, I didn't choose Jesus today. Because that's tough, and that hurts. And once we get to the point where we realize that we do have a choice and we're not lying to ourselves anymore, we're holding ourselves accountable, that's when we can get even more comfortable in this chair. And that's when we can pull out our Bible and we can pray and we can ask God to forgive us for choosing the busyness over Him. We can ask God to forgive us for believing the lie that we're too busy to spend time with Him or that we're uncomfortable spending time with Him. And we can sit and have a conversation with our Savior. I think you would be amazed at how long a minute actually lasts if you just sat in the stillness of it and read your Bible, turned on some music, and sang by yourself where nobody else could hear you and you're at the top of your lungs. But the truth chair is the first chair that you need to sit at. You need to be honest. You need to let yourself stop getting away with all the excuses. And you need to have that quiet time with Jesus. The second chair that we're going to talk about is the yes chair. And this chair is going to be, I chose a rocking chair because for me, a rocking chair kind of brings a little bit of a solace. What's the word? How do you say it? There you go. Okay. I like to rock in it. I feel comfortable. My mom and dad bought me one for my front porch. It's a housewarming gift. This isn't it, but it's too heavy to bring. But anyway, it brings me a lot of comfort because you're going to sit here and this is where you're going to learn to say yes to Jesus. You're going to learn to say yes to His agenda. You're going to say yes to His plan. And you're going to say yes to what He wants you to do. When you say yes to Jesus, you are saying no to some other things. And that is the truth of it. We don't want to say no to friends. We don't want to feel guilty. We don't want to feel like we're letting people down. And you know, I've been guilty a lot of times of even sacrificing my family at it. You know, we get so afraid of what other people will think that the people who love us the most and the people who that are we are supposed to have high up on that priority list. Because God makes that clear, right? In Scripture, it's God first, if we're married, it's our husbands. If we're not married, if we are married, and then we have kids, and it's our kids next. But after that, that's when it gets gray and kind of sketchy, and we have to kind of figure it out. A lot of people, they stop, and once they have kids, it's gymnastics, it's dance, it's soccer, it's volunteering at school, and your plate gets so filled up with what you're doing for your kids that God gets pushed out, and a lot of times our husbands get pushed out, and they feel ignored. And our kids become our God because they make us feel good about ourselves or they validate us and we get busy there. But then if you move on to that, I've said yes to friends and I've said to my family, well, you love me. You have to be there for me. You have to forgive me. So I'm going to say no to you because I don't have to feel guilty about it because you're supposed to make my life easier. And I'll say yes to these people because I'm so worried about them being angry with me. Or I'm so worried about what they'll think of me. And I hurt the people that I love the most and that love me the most because I've taken advantage of the fact that there is that love there. So once you have told yourself the truth, once you start saying yes to Jesus, then the last thing you're going to do is going to be a very uncomfortable chair. You don't want to sit on it very long. So you better learn how to say it fast, and that's no. You're going to have to start saying no, and you're going to have to start telling people, I can't do that. I can't do what you're asking me to do because I'm sacrificing my relationship with Jesus. I'm sacrificing my relationship with my husband. I'm sacrificing my relationship with my children. If I do this and I say yes, if I say yes to you, then I am saying no to Jesus. I'm not doing what he's asked me to do. See, we have the power. He gave us a brain. He gave us a mouth. We can say yes. We can say no. You know what's great, too? We can say, let me get back to you. You don't have to say yes to everything. My mom used to have this great thing. I think she might even still have it above her kitchen sink. Is stress is when your mouth says yes, but your heart said no. You knew that you shouldn't have done it. Now, a lot of this is like we're just heaping coals upon ourselves because we're not willing to take the sacrifice and say no to the things that we need to say no to. Basically, we have to realize that we have to stop living in captivity, and that captivity is called busyness. And we have the choice to remove ourselves from it. God's truth is what's going to drive us to our final destination. You just have to decide if you want the end of that final destination to be where God wanted to take you or where you wanted to take you. What do you want your relationship with Christ to look like? What do you want your marriage to look like, your friendships to look like? What do you want your children to look like? If you don't know, then that's scary. And you may need to sit in the truth chair a little bit longer. But this is important. And this is a really big deal. You guys have to get a hold of your lives. I have to get a hold of my life. We're broken, we're busy, we're scattered, and all we're doing is enhancing the brokenness and the busyness and the scattering. We're not helping it. The only thing and the only way that it can be helped is by sitting at the Lord's feet and becoming so familiar, knowing that if we sit there, that's where we're going to find protection. If we sit there, that's where we're going to find forgiveness. If we sit there, that's where we're going to find joy. If we sit there, that's when we are going to be enough. And we don't have to prove ourselves to anyone else. I just want to kind of end tonight by reminding you that if you decide to take the challenge and you decide to evaluate your time, you decide to say, okay, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to pretend, just completely wipe the slate clean. And I'm going to write down what I think I want my life to look like. And then I'm going to talk to Jesus about it. And I'm going to find out if we're on the same page. And I'm going to get my life in order. And I'm going to give Jesus control of my life instead of me trying to control my life. And I'm going to remember that if I say yes to one thing, I'm saying no to another. And make the decision. Stop making excuses. Stop blaming other people. Take responsibility for the fact that you're choosing to be busy or you're choosing Jesus. It's one or the other. They're not going to be a confusing, chaotic, you know, on and off ramp like our new Worshipful Road exit. But I want that for you, and I know that that's what God wants for you. I know he wants you with him. I know he wants to heal your hurts, and I know all of you have them. I know he wants to encourage your days, and I know all of you need it. And I know he wants to love you through your inadequacies, because I know we all feel inadequate. We all feel insecure, and we need Jesus. And he's running after us, and we're not turning around and stopping. So I hope that after today, you'll take some time and you'll just spend some time with Jesus. Commit to being at his feet. Commit to prioritizing your life the way he wants it to look. And at the end of the day, if your house is a mess and you have dishes in the sink, have a peace in your heart that that just wasn't what God wanted you to do that day. He wanted you to play with your kids. He wanted you to sit with your husband. He wanted you to sit down at dinner as a family. He didn't want you to pull out the pledge and the vacuum cleaner. Now, those things are important, don't get me wrong, but I don't like dirt. But give yourself some grace. You don't have to be busy all the time, but you do have to spend time with the Lord. And just like Mary took that pillow and sat at the Lord's feet, listening to him, listening to what he said, soaking in his wisdom, I want to invite you to do the same thing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I've asked Crystal to sing a song at the feet of Jesus. And if you would like to come and sit at a pillow that's down here, and you would like to spend some time talking to the Lord and praying and get the process started, find out what you need to do to spend more time at his feet, tell him that you're sorry, that you're too busy for him. Tell him that you're sorry that you let everything else consume you but him. Then I would invite you, as she's singing, just to come down and pray. And if you don't want to come down by yourself, grab a friend and pray with each other, because that's the first place you're going to find him, is bowing your heads and praying and having that quiet time with him.